the book of Joshua tonight, chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I enjoyed the good singing. I liked the songs. I could understand the words. And they were biblical words. Boy, that was a blessing. And then to hear them good poems. Man, I wished I was artistic. Somebody asked Brother Billy Kelly when Brian and I were traveling with him, when we both didn't have anything to do. And somebody said, Brother Billy, said that little fellow, Joe, that travels with you, said, is he an artist? He said, well, I reckon he is. He drives flies and idiots everywhere he goes. But, man, it's great to be here tonight. I love you, preacher. And I've enjoyed the good preaching I got to hear and enjoy the good fellowship. And what I like about this meeting, there's nobody mad at anybody else. Well, if they are, they don't say it. And Brother Stewart don't allow people to throw rocks at other people. And I appreciate that because I'm usually the guy they're chucking them at. Amen? And I appreciate him and the Lord. Love Miss Stewart and been knowing them a long time. And they're still just as sweet and kind and got Christian character. And I like all of that, don't you? Brother Chapel down here was asking me to pray for his daughter. They're wanting grandbabies. They wanted me to anoint her at the end of this service and pray. And I said, no, Brother Stewart done that one time up at Rural Retreat. And he anointed that lady with 3-in-1 oil and she had triplets. And she came back and got kind of smart with Brother Stewart. He said, honey, you just be glad I didn't spray you with 10W-40, pray. That really didn't happen. I just made that up right here. Oh, boy, if you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're plumb glad about it, just wave them real good. Turn around to somebody with their hands up and say, I told you you'd shout your old dry hide. Praise God. Amen. The book of Joshua tonight, chapter number two, and will not read the entire chapter. Just want to read a couple of verses to give you the gist of the text tonight. Joshua chapter 2, look if you will, in verse number 15. Then she, speaking of Rahab the harlot, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Look down, if you will, in verse number 18. Behold, now this is what the spies are saying to her. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring, I love this, thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now turn over to chapter number 6. And just look in verse number 25. I have the first part of that verse underlined and in my notes. Say hallelujah right here. Hallelujah right here. Look in chapter 6 and verse number 25. And Joshua, say this part out loud with me, saved Rahab the harlot alive. Man, let's say that again. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. And you Bible students know that the Old Testament name Joshua is equivalent to the New Testament name Jesus. For they both mean the Savior of the people. Moses led them through the wilderness and up to the bank of the Jordan, but could not lead them into the land of covenant promise. So Moses passes off the scene, and God brings the Savior, the Deliverer, by the name of Joshua. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I believe tonight we wouldn't be doing it just through the scripture to put the word Savior in verse 25. And the word Jesus in verse 25. And the Savior and Joshua and Jesus saved Rahab the harlot alive. I believe according to John 3:16, you can put your name where Rahab's name is and not do justice, injustice to the scripture and say, and the Savior and Jesus saved Joe, saved Ray, saved Bill, saved Susie. Because I'm glad our heavenly Joshua is the Savior of all sinners. Aren't you glad tonight that he is in the saving business? And from this passage, I want to preach for a while on the harlot that was saved by the scarlet. The harlot that was saved by the scarlet. I love the passages in the Old Testament that demonstrate and exemplify New Testament truth. In the New Testament, the Bible emphatically says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Let me say this tonight, if you interpret the scripture and arrive to any other interpretation than salvation by grace through faith, you have reached the wrong interpretation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And in the Old Testament, in our text tonight, is a vivid example of how the grace of God saves sinners. I heard a preacher say the other day that he was a grace preacher. But may I remind you, if you anywhere in the Bible, you will be a grace preacher. For the first time the word grace is mentioned is in the book of Genesis, where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The last time you read the word grace in the Bible is in the last part of the last chapter of the last book, where the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Word of God commences in grace. It continues in grace. It consummates in grace. And it is 66 books of celebration to the grace of God. I've heard preachers say there is no real Bible definition for grace. And so they come up with man-made definitions, and they're not bad. One man said the definition of grace is God's unmerited favor towards man. Well, that's pretty good. I like what one preacher said. He said grace is something for nothing. Then one preacher said it is God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I like all of that. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than they are, because all of you that know me know I'm dumber than a box of rocks. But I have tonight a clear, vivid, undisputable Bible definition of the pure grace of God. Hebrews chapter number 2, the Bible said he, speaking of Jesus, by the grace of God should taste death for every man. There is your Bible definition of the grace of God, that Jesus Christ at Calvary tasted death for every man. I'm not here tonight to run rabbits. I'm not here tonight to have some kind of agenda. But I'm telling you, there is nothing gracious about a doctrine that says that God predestinated people to go to hell. There is nothing gracious in the fact that a man can have two children and one can be saved and the other cannot be saved. That is not the grace of God. That's cruel. That's brutal. That's heresy. I'm glad the God that I serve tonight so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you tonight what the grace of God is. It's Jesus Christ dying for every man, that every man, woman, and boy, and girl can come to the cross and call on Jesus. I'm glad the invitation still stands. Whosoever will, none are excluded, and all are included. That's the real grace of God. And I don't care what terms they use. If they do not preach that doctrine, they are not grace preachers. Nothing gracious about somebody can't be saved. And I've noticed this about those kind of fellows. Them and their wives and their children and their best buddies just happen to be in the right group. And knowing my luck, if I believed in that, me or somebody I love would be left out. But brother, it's not that way. It's not that way. It is not that way. Aren't you glad tonight the grace of God and the mercy of God and the salvation of God and the work of bloody Calvary is available for every man? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My Lord, I feel like preaching. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Thank God for God's saving grace. And in our text tonight is an Old Testament picture of the saving grace of God. How this harlot, who is an outcast Gentile, comes into the royal family. And it's not by works of righteousness. It is by the great, wonderful grace of Almighty God. In our text tonight, there are three or four things about Rahab the harlot I want us to see. Number one, I want you to notice her condition. Her condition. You say, Brother Joe, what was her condition? She was a sinner. And because she was a sinner, she could not find herself. She could not save herself. She could not help herself. She was a sinner. And may I remind you tonight that every man, woman, and boy and girl in this room outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ is a sinner. You say, how is Rahab a sinner? Well, she is born a sinner. She's a sinner the same reason why all of us tonight outside of Christ are sinners. We were born sinners. Someone said, what have I got to do to be a sinner? And the answer is just be born. What have I got to do to be a Christian? Just be born again. For the first time we were born of the will of the flesh. We were begotten by the seed of sinful men. We were born to die and go to hell. But I'm glad that second birth, that last birth, that new birth, I was born of the will of God by the seed of the Word of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I was not born to die and go to hell. I was born to live forever in a place called heaven. I'm glad I have been born again. And she is a sinner. Notice what she is called throughout the text. She is called Rahab the harlot. And I'm not trying to be vulgar and mixed company. I don't believe a preacher ought or has to do that. But they're not calling her Rahab the harlot because there's nothing else to call her. They are calling her that because that is what she was. She was not only a born sinner, but she was a practicing sinner. Here is a woman who is entangled in her sin. In fact, she is so deep in sin that in that day when you thought of Rahab, you thought of a harlot. And when you thought of a harlot, you thought of Rahab. That is her reputation. That is her character. That is her handle. That is her name. She is a practicing sinner. And let me say this tonight. She is not a sinner because she is a harlot. She is a harlot because she is a sinner. I hear people say, well, I don't know why I did such and such before I got saved. I know why you did such and such before you got saved. You were a sinner. And because you were a sinner, it produced the fruits of sin in your life. And let me say this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It is as natural for a sinner to sin as it is for a child of God to pray. It is just as natural for a sinner to sin as it is for a dog to lick its own vomit and a hog wallow around in the mire. We're not sinners because of what we do. We do what we do because of sinners. And the reason why me and I sinners, they refuse to hear and believe and repent and turn to God. But I'm glad God saves old sinners. It doesn't matter how far. It doesn't matter how deep. It doesn't matter how bad. The grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God can reach further down than sinners can reach up. And if God can save Rahab the harlot, He can save anybody in this room tonight. He saves to the uttermost and to the guttermost. She's a sinner and she's a harlot. Not only that, but notice where she lives. She lives in Jericho. You say, well, brother, what's so bad about Jericho? Jericho is one of the cities that's on God's radar, destined for judgment. The judgment of God is coming to Jericho. And everybody in Jericho is going to die under the wrath and condemnation of a sovereign God. So I believe I could say this tonight. She is a born sinner. She is a practicing sinner. And she is a condemned sinner. She's been born a sinner. She's been living like a sinner. She's gonna die like a sinner. And she'll be judged like a sinner. Her family, her house, her town, her hamlet, her village. She lives in a world. She lives in an environment that's under the dark cloud of the condemnation of God. But aren't you glad tonight when you was a sinner headed to a devil's hell, you heard the preacher say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God stirred in your heart and you didn't want to go to hell. I heard one of these liberals the other day. He said, these preachers that preach on hell and fire and brimstone and judgment, they scare people. They play on people's emotions. He said, we ought to tell people they ought to be saved for more than just wanting to stay out of hell. Time out, news flash. This just in. If you don't want to go to hell, and that's the only reason right now you can think of to be saved, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And death is coming. And hell is moving. And all of us live in a world under the condemnation of Almighty God. The other day I was in Texas. And I had to get a haircut. And when you live on the road, you do everything on the road. So I said to the assistant pastor, I need to get a haircut. He said, I got just the place. Man, he took me to this place to get my hair trimmed. I used to get it cut. Now I get it polished. Can I get a sympathy right there? Boy, I was in the chair, and boy, she came out behind that curtain. She had that Batman thing on her. She had them clippers and them scissors look like they was that long. And she had that I hate me and look in her face. And here she came, got the whacking on my head. And you know how it is. If you want to know what's going on in a town, don't read the paper. Don't listen to the radio. Don't watch the TV. Go to the barbershop. Especially where the ladies are. They tell it all. Can I get a witness? So I was in there and she got the whacking on my head. And the subject of church came up. Well, I said, I'll just be quiet. Boy, the subject of church came up. She said, you know, the other day, I have a little 9-year-old girl and I took her to church and it was terrible. It was just awful. She said, you guys may not believe this, but that preacher yelled. He got red in the face and he spit. Said he preached on hellfire and brimstone. She said, I covered my little girl's ears up. I didn't want her to be traumatized. I didn't want that to frighten her. And I'm sitting there going, You know, she does have the clippers and she does have the scissors. But finally, I said, ma'am, let me ask you something. I said, do you let your daughter watch TV, vampire movies, listen to rock music, and play on the internet unsupervised? She said, yes. I said, she's already been traumatized. I said, she's already been traumatized. And I said, ma'am, I promise you some preacher full of God with a burden for her soul and yours trying to keep you out of hell won't traumatize her. It won't be near as bad as that mess you later watch on the TV. She popped up. She said, do you go to church? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does your preacher sweat? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does your preacher yell? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does your preacher spit and stomp? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does your preacher preach on hell? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, who's your preacher? Oh, I looked at that look on her face and the clippers and the scissors, but my mind went back to that fire where that one Baptist preacher backslid and denied his calling and a case of Holy Ghost boldness drove up in me. She said, who's your preacher? I said, you're cutting his hair. She said, oh my God. I said, yeah, I preach about him too. And then I got a case of they can't help it. And then I got to crying. I said, that ain't all, honey. My daddy preached that way. And all my buddies preached that way. And I preached that way. Oh, aren't you glad you's a sinner? A half a heartbeat from hell. You were so close to the flames. The backside of your soul was already black by the fire. But he preached about a heaven. And he preached about a hell. And God stirred in your heart. And I'm glad to report to you tonight, the only fire I'll ever feel is the fire of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God burning in my soul. I've been delivered. I've been saved. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Woo! Hallelujah. Her condition. Number two, I don't have time to read it. But when you go home tonight, read verse 8 down through verse number 12 and you'll find her conviction. I believe in conviction. You say, what is conviction? When you realize you are a sinner and you need a Savior. You say, well, how do you believe she got under conviction? Well, notice what happens in the text. She gets up one morning, like any other morning, minding her own business, and somebody knocks at her door. Boy, the Calvinists get nervous right there. Someone said to you, a screen door evangelist. I'm a screen door evangelist, rooftop evangelist, track passing out evangelist, bus running visitation, in your face soul winning, invitation giving, whosoever willing, car toting evangelist. Amen. I like what Brother Brian said this morning. If what people's got so good, why are they keeping it a secret? I thought, Lord, have mercy. Anything is wonderful. It's salvation and redemption and deliverance and victory and unction and power and joy and peace. Dear God, honey, don't keep it to yourself. Let's tell the world. It is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others. Thank God he'll do for you. Woo! Knocked at her door, and they said something like this: we're from the children of Israel. We're the Semites. Joshua sent us out here to spy out the land. And boy, you go to your room tonight, read verse 8 down to verse number 12. You may have a Pentecostal Nazarene Independent Baptist shouting spell. Putty, when they said the name Israel and Joshua, she looked at them and she said, I've heard about them. And she said more than that. I've heard about their God. And she said, I heard what he done to Pharaoh. And I heard what he done to Egypt. And I heard what he done to God. I heard what he done down at the Red Sea, and I've heard what he's done to everybody else that's come up against him. And she said, when I heard it, there was no more courage in me. And when we heard it, terror gripped all of us. In fact, everybody that's heard it, they're fainting and they're filled with dread. She said this in your King James. She said, our hearts did melt. Oh, let me say, I've never been to her house on the walls of Jericho, but I gladly remember that night when Holy Ghost conviction came into my heart and I heard, oh God, did I ever hear? And when I heard, I fainted, I trembled, my breath left, my speech was gone. Oh, my breath was gone. My heart melted. That old wall of resistance. That old, oh, don't you just like it when God sends conviction and takes some old redneck that ain't never cried in his life. He's got a size suit that's about two sizes too small. All he knows is drinking and boozing and carousing. He's the tough guy, crying for sissies, and God gets a hold of him. He starts a squalling, making the ugliest face you ever seen. Aren't you glad when you was a sinner, one day you heard God got a hold of you, you got convicted, and your heart melted with fear. Woo! I love this. Watch what happens. You say, well, preacher, how did she hear? Well, I don't know. In that primitive day, there was no newspaper, radio or TV. I mean, think about it. Al Gore hadn't even invented the internet yet. How did she hear? Well, this is what I believe. She's in that hotel. That's what she does. She runs this hotel on the side of the wall. And she's out there in the public in the marketplace. And evidently, one day, she bumped into some people talking. Oh, have you heard the latest? Boy, she perks up her ear. Did you hear what happened? You know that mighty country over there named Egypt? They got the greatest military in the known world. They got the fire whooped out of them the other day. Who did it? Bunch of Semites. Bunch of ex-slaves. What kind of weapons did they have? They didn't have none. What kind of army did they have? They didn't have none. What kind of reinforcements did they have? Upper. What happened? Their God came down. And Pharaoh and his army got drowned in the Red Sea. You're kidding. No. And to top that off, before they got drowned in the Red Sea, their upper reinforcement dried it up and they walked over on dry ground. Oh, you're kidding. No? Well, why'd they do that? Well, this is what I heard. I heard for 450 plus years, they were slaves and strangers under the taskmaster of Pharaoh. And they had this prayer meeting and they called on God. And somewhere between a burning bush and a bleeding lamb, God delivers again. They said their pastor by the name of Moses came to the camp one day and said, take a lamb, a male lamb, a spotless lamb, and kill him on the 14th day, and take that hyssop brush, man, I'm liking this, and take that hyssop brush and put that blood on the top and on the sides of the door, because I'm a passing through. But when I see the blood, I pass over thee. And she said, so they just believed what the preacher said, and they took the lamb's blood and they put it on the door. And sure enough, when God came through, when he saw the blood, he passed over them. Then what happened? Well, after the blood was shed, that was a mysterious disappearance of the blood washed. Lord, have mercy. Did you just hear what I said? After the blood was shed, that was a mysterious disappearance of the blood washed. And they came up to the Red Sea. And boy, they was in a mess. Red Sea was in front, a desert on one side, mountains on the other side, and Pharaoh's army pursuing at the rear. Well, what did they do? Well, the story said they did nothing. They asked the preacher to pray. And the preacher said, well, let's just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Said their preacher stood upon that rock, held up that rod, and all of a sudden the wind began to blow. And their God said, and the waters heaped up on both sides. That was a ball of fire that come down from heaven and got between them and the enemy. And then on top of all of that, then this angel came down and started directing traffic. And that path in that sea wasn't muddy or marshy. It was boneyard dry. Probably a path a mile wide. And for all of them people to cross that mile wide path, they say it took all of the night. But the angel directed traffic and a ball of fire held off the enemy. And the preacher had his hands raised in victory. All right, I got a question. How many of them made it out? Every one of them that had the blood applied. Glory, glory. How many of them got out? Every one of them that had the blood applied. Mama got out. Daddy got out. Junior got out. Sissy got out. Bubba got out. Everybody got out. In fact, they were so serious about cleaning out that joint. He said, I looked back and there were six fellas and they had a box on their shoulder, a coffin. And I said, what's that thing? They said, that's Papa Joseph. He said, don't even leave his bones in this place. He said, when you get out, I'm a-going with you. And I believe the angel stayed and the ball of fire stayed and heaven stayed back the waters till the last one got out. You say, preacher, who's going to make it out of this world? Everyone that's claimed and applied the blood of the Paschal Lamb. Woo! Wow. Well, what happened then? Well, all I know is when the last one got out, Whatever God did, he undid it. God heaped up the waters and he unheaped the waters. I do know this. The same thing that delivered the people of God destroyed the enemies of God. Well, glory. The same medium of deliverance for the blood washed was the same instrument of destruction to the unbelievers. And they all drowned and they're all dead. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Israel on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance stood there and watched their past be washed away in the depths of the sea. You say, do you know anything about that? I sure do. I got under conviction. I heard the gospel. I received Christ in my past, in my sins. God taken away, and I'm saved by the blood of the cross. And the very thing that saves us pronounces judgment on Satan and the Christ rejecters. Thank God, aren't you glad tonight to be delivered? Delivered by the power of the blood. Wow. Never heard nothing like that before. Well, that ain't all. They're headed this way. And God's going to overthrow every city that's in their way. That's how she heard. And she told those spies. She said, when I heard it, I lost my nerves. My courage left, my strength left, my knees buckled, my heart filled with fear. I believe in that old-fashioned, white-knuckle, preacher-hunting, salty-thirsty, like-seeking, Holy Ghost conviction. When God brings you to the end of yourself and you realize you are a sinner, you can't get saved without conviction. I'm glad God sends conviction when we are obedient in preaching the Word of God and sowing the gospel seed. And so we see her condition. We see her conviction. Number three, I love this. Then we see her commitment. She says to the spies, I don't want to die down here. And I don't want my mama to die. My daddy to die, my brothers and my sisters. I don't want to die down here. Now here's where conviction does. It convinces. She said, I know your God. He's a man. I know your God. He's the God of all gods. I know your God. He's the high and holy God. I know your God. There's no. Oh, aren't you glad when they, the preacher, began to preach and you came to the realization that God was right and God was good and God was everything and you put your trust in the Word about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And she said, please don't let me die. Save me and my mama and my daddy. Please. They say, all right, since you've heard, since you've believed, and since you've asked, by faith. You say, Brother Joe, you got any scripture for that? Glory to God, how much you want? Where one good direct quote suffice for tonight in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Fame of Faith, it explicitly says, by faith, the harlot, perish not. By the way, the only thing that'll keep anybody in this room out of hell is to realize you a sinner and trust the Word and believe the Word and turn to Jesus Christ. It ain't hard, but it ain't cheap. I'm glad God saves those who believe, who repent, who call upon the name of the Lord. Remember me. They said, you got a deal. Then she makes this statement, and son, when I read this, I had a fit. She said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. She went up to a rooftop, got some of them reeds she'd cut out of the river and peeled them off strings at a time and wove them together and dipped them in that scarlet dye. And she said, I'll tell you what I got. I got this scarlet thread, and I'm going to let you down through the window by this scarlet thread. And she said, now, I appreciate you telling me that, but she said, you'll read this in your King James Bible. She said, give me a true token. I read that word token and got blessed. That word token means proof of purchase, rite of passage, no so, hope so, assurance. Something you can hold on to till the promise is, well, glory. And evidently the Lord likes that word token because he used it in some interesting places. He told Noah that rainbow that was in the sky would be a token. He told Israel that the blood on the door would be a token. And then he tells Rahab the harlot, that scarlet line that you're letting us down by, just bind it in the window, and that is your token. For when we pass through here in mighty judgment, when we see the line, we'll pass over and you'll be saved. I'm glad tonight I got proof of purchase. I'm glad tonight I got rite of passage. I'm glad tonight I got assurance and know so. I got something I can hold on to till the storm passes by. What is it? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that's in the window of my soul. It's my ticket out of here, like the scarlet thread was for Rahab the harlot. You just put that little thread, you put that in the window, and when the lightning flashes, when the thunder rolls, when the storm comes, you just look. You got it in the window. You got a token. You say, what'd she do then, preacher? Honey, she went on a soul-winning mission. She went on a personal evangelistic campaign because they had already told her, your mama can get in and your daddy can get in and your brothers can get in. In fact, it's like this. Whoever gets in the house, they're going to make it out of here. Oh, she didn't say go out there and see about this and go out there and see about that and go out there and check this out. And go, she said, nope, whoever they are, if they get in your house on the other side of the line, they go, Lord God, I'm about to shout by myself. Whoever they are, if they get in the house behind the line, they gonna make it out of here. Mama, daddy, brothers, sisters, whoever you bring in, they're going to make. Boy, aren't you glad tonight? You want a real definition of Bible predestination? God has predetermined that every sinner that comes to Jesus Christ and washed in his blood will go to heaven once they are saved by the blood of the crucified one. Praise God, that's what it is. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the door says, whosoever will, let him come. And you walk through the door and step on the other side. And it said predestinated from the foundation of the world. We're chosen in Christ. We're predestinated in Christ. We are adopted in Christ. Whoever's in the house behind the line, whoever's in the house behind the blood, and let me say, if you want to miss hell and go to heaven, come to the cross, claim the blood of Jesus Christ, and God will save your soul. Woo! Will you help me out a little bit? She said, Daddy, I know I've lived wicked like a sinner, but these fellas come by and told me there was a way out of here. Daddy, this house, this wall, this city, it's as good as done, but there is a remedy. So, Dad, come on over to my house where the lion is. And you know what them fellas told me? Said mama could get in too. And then they told me, oh, my father's house. So that means my brother, he can get in too. And that means my sister can get in too. Oh, glory. Now listen, I know I've been a harlot. I know I've been wicked. And I've shamed the whole family. But something's got a hold of me. I don't want to be destroyed. And I don't want you to be destroyed. And Bubba, we ain't got to be destroyed. There is a remedy. Lord have mercy. There is an alternative. No, don't sit down. Don't sit down. You say, preacher, Brother Arthur, I'm in this service tonight and an unholy feeling is struggling in my breast and I don't want to die with that God and go to hell. My God, look up here at me. You don't have to. You don't have to. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. There is a remedy. There is a bond. There is an alternative. And Jesus is his name. Woo! So daddy, mama, brother, sister, just grab your place in the line. Come on in to my house. Praise God. There's a lot of things went on in this house that I sure am afraid of. But thanks to the Lion, hey, glory to God. I'll be right back in a minute. I'm getting the blind staggers. Glory to God. But thanks to the Lion, I don't live where I used to live. I don't go where I used to go. I don't say what I used to say. Woo! Not thanks to the church membership, not thanks to the water baptistry, but hallelujah, thanks to the cross, thanks to the blood, thanks to Calvary. It's different over in my house. Woo! Glad to have y'all over at my house. I know you used to be ashamed to come over here. I don't blame you. Well, I've lived my reputation in this town, but it ain't that way no more. Amen. Thank y'all for coming in. Now, let's just bind the cord. Now, family, we need to talk to you about something. There's going to be some rough days. There's going to be some perilous times. There's going to be some beginning of sorrows. But everything's all right, Pop. You tell Mom and Brother and Sissy, it's going to be all right. It may get real bad out there, but it's going to be all right in here. Amen. Praise God. Let's fellowship a while. Let's break bread together. Oh, thank God, I'm glad I heard. Hey, I'm glad I heard. Amen. Y'all want to sing one just for the glory of God? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear, leaning on everlasting arm, leaning on Jesus Christ my Savior, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on Jesus Christ my Savior, leaning on everlasting arms. Hey, that's better than what used to ring in these walls. Oh Lord, it's coming, it's coming. Oh my dad, I hear them. I hear the scuffle of soldiers' feet. I hear the clanging of the swords and the spears. What was that, Daddy? That's the shouts. Oh my. They're shouting around the walls. Hold on, that's going to get a little rough. Boy, that house begins to shake. That whole town begins to shake. The cement begins to crackle and fall from the walls. And about that time, here it came. Wham! Pam! Crash! All the walls, outer and inner wall. And what's the matter about it? Their house is on the wall. But when the dust settled and the smoke cleared, only thing left standing is our house. It's good, ain't it, Pops?
Yes, sir.
Now, Papa, I got to tell you, that's just the perilous times. That's the beginning of sorrows. The worst judgment is going to come. It's fire. After they knock the walls down, they're going to burn her down. But them fellers said, whoop, before they left, hey, we were going to be saved. About that time, they're back. Come on in. Come on in. All right now. You saw some perilous times. You saw the beginning of sorrows. You felt a little shaking. But now the bigger ones are coming. The fire's coming. But this is what's going to happen. Y'all going to get taken out before the fire falls. So y'all come with me. I said they got taken out before the fire fell. Bless God, I said they got taken out before the fire fell. I said they got taken out before the fire fell. And fire's coming, and hell is coming, and judgment's coming. But before it ever falls, I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm getting out before the fire falls. Woo! Hallelujah. So they're outside the city, looking back and watching it burn. I believe Rahab said, Daddy, that could have been us. Mama, brother, sister, that could have been us. And probably should have been us. Oh, but wait a minute. We got behind the line. Oh, let's don't get beat up with pride and be built up with pride now, family, because we ain't no better than them. Woo! I tell you what we ought to do. Get a preacher in each section and let's take turns and magnify the grace of God. You preach a while, I'll preach a while. Honey, you preach a while. No, you're a woman. You preach a while and you preach a while. How many of you are glad tonight? The only thing between you and the flames of hell is the scarlet thread. Wait for me right there. I said, aren't you glad tonight? The only thing between you and the screaming walls of the madhouse of the wicked is the scarlet thread. And let me just say this real quickly in closing and hasting, headed towards the conclusion of this spiritual emphasis. Woo! It's not an accident. It ain't a white line, a green line, or a blue line, or a red line. Scarlet. Why scarlet? You know how they got the dye to make scarlet? That was a little worm that lived and died on a tree. Now that worm was innocent. That worm was minding its own business. But that little worm who was innocent had to die for the guilty. Because the little worm suffered and bled and died on the tree. You got scarlet. That little worm grew on that tree and they mashed that worm. He would extract and expel from his body a little dye that became the main dye for the color of scarlet. If the innocent doesn't die for the guilty, there's no scarlet. If there's no suffering of the innocent on the tree, There is no scarlet. And I found this out, Dr. Stewart. That dye of scarlet, they say, was so powerful. If it ever got in a garment, it was done. And you could never get it out. Woo! That's why when old evangelist Isaiah got full of God, he began to preach on God's redemptive plan. And he said to that rebellious people, though your sins be as scarlet. When he said that word, they said, oh my God, that means it'll never go away. That means we'll never get rid of it. That means it can't never be taken out. He said, younger, let me finish. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And I read this in a chemistry book. The only chemical composition known to have enough power to break the dye of scarlet is blood. You'll get that about 4 o'clock in the morning. You're going to wake up and go, whoo! You say, why are you saved tonight? Because on the tree, the innocent died for the guilty and shed his precious blood. And I'm glad it's on my soul. And it'll never be taken out. Amen. Whoo! Amen. Saved by the blood. Amen. Of the crucified one. They said when Napoleon met his defeat at Waterloo, he had a map of the battlefield hanging on the wall of his tent and had Waterloo circled in red. And the story that I read said that old beady-eyed Frenchman walked over there and stuck out his crooked finger and said to all of his subordinate generals, fellas, if it wasn't for that red spot right there, I'd be the ruler of the whole world. You say, what's that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. I'm about to die to tell you. I believe every now and then old daddy devil goes through hell and gets some demons and demon spirits and parades them by Calvary and holds out his old black crooked charred finger and says, devils, if it wasn't for that red spot right there, I'd be the ruler. But the devil met his Waterloo at Calvary. Thank God, aren't you glad tonight? The only thing between you and the flames of the burning hell is the scarlet, is the redemption, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what I say. Woo! I got to hurry. So they got delivered before the fire fell. Now watch this. Guess where they went after the fire fell? They went to a wedding. After the fire fell, they went to a wedding. Whose? Who'd she get hooked up with? One of them Jew boys outside the city. But you said she was a Gentile. She just got grafted. She just got took out of nothing and put slab dab in the middle of everything. Son, I'm going to a wedding. I said we're going to a wedding. On the other side of the fire, we're going to a wedding. And us old Gentile dogs that were doomed for hell, we're in the family. We're in the family. We're in the family. And the covenant of promise is ours in Jesus Christ. Woo! Watch this now. Heard that young Hebrew boy fall in love and get married and have them a son. And his name was Boaz. Who's Boaz? Kinsman redeemer. I'll be right back, Mom or Dad. Hold on. Old Boaz goes up there and sees little old Ruth, another Gentile. He said, I love her. Said, I love her. Well, you don't understand, Boaz. She's a widow. She's a heathen. She's an outcast. I know. But I remember that's what my mama was.
That's what my mama was. And God saved my mama. And I believe God can save her. Bring her to me. Eat at my table. Bless God, she's mine. Woo! And Ruth and Boaz get married. And they have him a son. And his name is Obed. Obed grows up, meets him a pretty little girl, and they get married, and they have them a son named Jesse. I'm going somewhere. And Jesse grows up, meets a pretty little girl, and they have a whole bunch of sons. And one of them's name is David. And then begetting and begetting and begotten and begetting. Begetting and begotten and begetting and begetting. It kept on begetting and begotten till it swooped down to a little old virgin girl by the name of Mary and impregnated her with the sinless seed of the eternal God of the ages. And early one Christmas morning, the angel said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the root and the offspring of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is his name. And already have the harlot, she's in the family tree of Jesus Christ. Woo! But wait a minute. It gets better. And on and on and on. And on and on and on. And begetting and begotten till it swooped down to Virginia and sowed in Ray Stewart. Swooped down to North Carolina and swept him Ramsey. Swept over there to Reedsville and swept old Joe in. Somebody said, you're going to fall out of grace? Nope. Sowed in. Gonna lose your salvation? Nope. Sowed in. You're gonna fall from grace? Not your longest day or your worst nightmare. I've been sowed in. I've been engrafted. I've been bought by the blood. I'm in a royal family. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. The Bible's my book. Heaven's my home. The church is my family. And preaching's my business. I was an outcast headed to hell. Now I'm a royal descendant, an heir of God, and a there with Jesus Christ. Praise God, I'm saved forever. Woo! And if you don't think the old rugged cross makes a difference, she's born a sinner, lived like a sinner, condemned to die like a sinner, and all of a sudden she's in the family tree of the Lord Jesus. Glory. Brother Brady, let me tell you, little young'uns, you got that right somewhere up in heaven. Oh, glory, I feel a God bump about that big. Hallelujah. There is a record book, and my name is written in that book. There's not a big enough eraser in or out of hell to take it out. You may not realize this tonight, but you are looking at royalty. You may not believe this tonight, but you're looking at Saint Joseph. Turn around to somebody and say, glory to God, I'm so saved it's pitiful. Hallelujah. Turn around to somebody right now and say, I'm so saved it's pitiful. Couldn't get lost if I wanted to. I'm not going to hell tonight. I'm not going to see the judgment tonight. I'm not going to feel the fire tonight. I'm in the family. I'm in the family. I'm in the family. I'm in the royal seed. Whoo! And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Lord, it ain't even 9 o'clock yet. Liberals get out before 9. I don't want to put nobody on the spot, I was a sitting over there this morning when them three grand girls of yours got to singing. And as bad as you feel, I seen a smile that big come over your face. For no greater joy that you could ever have to see your little children walk in truth. Bless God, I ain't even no kin to them, and I enjoyed it. Amen. But they got to singing, "I'm a royal descendant." I said to Goolsby, "That's what I'm preaching on tonight." So we don't get out too early and they think we're liberals and everything. Could we have us a little song by the Stewart sisters? And we've already been told, no matter who you marry, you're still the Stewart sisters. I believe all living is here, ain't you? Sing that war. Quit acting like you're bashful and get on up here. They're going to sing a little bit of this. "I'm a royal descendant." Now, even if you aren't independent, you ain't no Stewart sister. Where you going, man? If he is, that's the ugliest one I've seen yet. Now, even if you independent, fundamental, premium, and literature don't like nobody Baptist, and you're not used to emotionally expressing yourself, try it this time. You might just want to start out like this first, make sure you don't have a heart attack. But if you'll start right there and do that a little bit, I promise you, if you ain't careful. And here's where you're probably going to want to shout for the first time. I promise I ain't going to tell on you. When they get down to that second verse and they sing, "How in this world can I stand and say such a thing?" You hear what she says? "I'll have to take you an altar where it happened many years ago." Let me just say this before they sang, glory to God. "Miss Juanita, I need some of your oxygen, honey. I'm about to give out right here. Aren't you glad you got a place? You can take the devil back to and say you a liar. I got me a token." If you got you a token tonight, just hold your Bible up real high and wave it around and say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I got me a token because of God's grace. Woo! We're in the family. Sing, young'uns, sing. Thank you.
I can tell you I'm nothing, and I would be telling the truth. I can say
can I stand and say such a thing? To say I am royal.